The Gospel of Luke to chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, and tonight we want to look at verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And let's just begin by reading verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him.
Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for this time that we have in your word. And Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God would take the word of God and work in our hearts, Lord. Teach us the importance of the principles in this passage that we find, Lord. Apply them to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In our passage tonight in Luke chapter 5, we're going to look at a miracle that the Lord Jesus performed, which led to Peter and Andrew and James and John forsaking all that they had and following the Lord Jesus. That's what we see in verse 11. Now, we've read this language in verse 11 before where it says they forsook all and followed him. And because of the similarity of verse 11 with a couple of other passages of scriptures in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 4, we looked at that a few months ago in particular, some have assumed that this passage is identical to the other passages that are parallel to Matthew chapter 4. And they see that the Lord Jesus called the disciples once. However, there are some pretty serious differences in the various accounts. In the other accounts that we looked at a few months ago that occurred really within a short time frame, we're not talking about a large time frame here, and also part of the Lord's Galilean ministry, in the other passages in Matthew, etc., when the Lord Jesus comes on this seashore, Peter and Andrew were present, but Andrew's not mentioned here. There's one difference. In the other accounts, we'll just call it Matthew, it's in others as well, but in Matthew, the Lord Jesus saw the men casting their nets into the sea, and they were out in the sea on their boats when Jesus came on the shore. But in this account, when Jesus comes to the shore, the men are not in their boats, but rather they are on the shore and they're washing their nets. In the other accounts, they were in the process of fishing. In this account, the fishing is done. They had already fished all night and caught nothing. In the other accounts, the Lord Jesus spoke on the seashore. In this account, the Lord gets into the boat and pulls a little away from the shore and speaks to the people from the boat. In the other gospel account, the Lord Jesus was alone on the shore, and was simply speaking to Peter, Andrew, and later James and John. But in this account, we see there's a whole crowd of people that were pressing around the Lord Jesus. So there are some serious distinctions or differences between the accounts, and I suppose it's possible for someone to harmonize the two, but just a natural reading of this passage indicates that Jesus is speaking about a different occasion than the one we looked at previously. And so the Lord Jesus, I take it, has already called his disciples. And now he performs a miracle in Luke chapter 6. And when he is done, the disciples said, "Yes, Lord, we'll forsake all and follow you." And I'd like to suggest that this was at least the third stage of their calling. Remember, some of these disciples, Andrew, and later he brought Peter to him, way back in the days when John the Baptist was first introducing Jesus as the Messiah, we read that Andrew and later Peter were following the Lord. So they were already following him at the very beginning of his ministry, before the Judean ministry, and certainly before his Galilean ministry. And we also see in Matthew chapter 4, the one passage we looked at a few months ago, where the Lord Jesus walked up to Peter and Andrew and later James and John, and he challenged them face to face, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That was the second time they decided to follow the Lord. And here we have the third time, where the disciples had been fishing all night and they caught nothing, and now the Lord, at the end of having performed a miracle that caught their attention, they decide to follow the Lord again. And this isn't the end. After the resurrection, the Lord in John chapter 21, after the resurrection and just prior to his ascension, these same men were out fishing again. And they were out all night and they caught nothing, just like we'll see in Luke chapter 5. And the Lord told them, just cast the net on the other side and you'll catch something. So very similar accounts, but they clearly are taking place in different time periods. So the passage that we're looking at tonight, let's begin in Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. And here Luke gives a unique account where the Lord is dealing in more depth with his disciples to teach them to be fishers of men. Now remember that this was in Capernaum on the Lake Gennesaret of the Sea of Galilee, or Lake Kinnereth, or the Sea of Tiberias, whatever you want to call it, four names in the New Testament. That's the scene. And Capernaum is right on that shore, and Capernaum is where the Lord had set up his headquarters for the Galilean phase of his ministry, and it also is where Peter, Andrew, James, and John lived, and it's where they fished. And evidently, the Lord had called them earlier in Matthew chapter 4, and they had followed him on one of his teaching tours. And now, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, after the teaching tour is over, because Capernaum was Jesus' center for all of those operations, they all returned back to Capernaum, and guess what these fishermen did? They went fishing. That's what fishermen do. They were back home. There was a break in their preaching ministry, and so they decided to go fishing. And after all the miracles that the Lord Jesus had performed, a great crowd followed him to the Sea of Galilee. And let's read, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, so Jesus is thronged by people, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them. They weren't in the boats. They were washing their nets on the shore. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now what we see here is Peter and his brother, they're mending their nets. And they had a very disappointing night of fishing. And it's at that time when the Lord Jesus, after a teaching tour, he's back home in his hometown of Capernaum, and he's being thronged by the people, and they wanted to hear the word of God. So the Lord Jesus led them to an open place. He brought them down to the shore where they'd have room. Now remember, the Lord Jesus, he was being opposed more and more severely and more continuously by the religious upper crust. But the common people loved to hear him preach. And the common people had heard the Lord Jesus put the Pharisees in their place, and they liked that. They knew full well that the Pharisees were hypocrites, and they told the people what to do, but they never did it. So Jesus was still popular with the common people, although the religious rulers were trying to put him to death. And now the Lord Jesus wanted to preach to the people. And because on other occasions it was difficult for him to preach in the city, in the town, where the buildings were so close to each other. Remember, some people, he was so thronged, they had to come in through the roof of the building to get at him. So the Lord Jesus brought the people down to the seashore where there would be a wide open area. And he wanted the people to hear. And when he saw a couple of fishing boats there, and their owners were washing the nets. Now, this wasn't the first time. He knew Peter and Andrew already. He had been with them many times from up to this point. And so it says that Jesus entered into this boat that was obviously owned by Peter and with Peter's permission. And then in verse 3, when he enters into the boat, he tells Peter to thrust out not a lot, but just a little. And so here's the Lord Jesus in the boat. And because he was so pressed by the people on the shore, he decided that it would be a better place for him to speak a little bit out into the water where the people wouldn't be able to go. So they'd be lined up on the shore and Jesus would be a little ways out in the water, separate from the people, but he could preach to them from the boat. And water carries sound very well. So this was an ideal place for the Lord Jesus to preach to the people. You know, God's preachers have often used some unusual places to preach, and I've noticed as I've driven around the country roads right in this area, there are two or three places where I've noticed where there's a name of a street. It's called Pulpit Rock Road. And evidently there were rocks there, and I know that reading in Spurgeon's biography, he was describing how if you're called to the ministry, you need a big chest so you can project and people can hear you. Now, I'm kind of small, but I do have these things, so they help a lot. But preachers would stand behind a rock so the sound would, it would act as a sounding board and get the sound out, because if somebody's going to preach God's word, it's worthless unless they can be heard. Paul said, how can they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You need to hear God's word being preached if you're going to repent and be saved. So the Lord was sitting down in this boat, preaching to the people. He had been thrust out a little bit out into the water, and the people were all on the shore. And so that scene is over. Now in verse 4, we have a new scene. It says, now, when he had left speaking, okay, at this point, his message to the congregation on the seashore is over. And evidently, the crowds had dispersed and had gone home. And now the Lord Jesus says to Simon, or Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. When the preaching was over, Peter is told, let's go out deeper into the water. Launch out into the deep part of the lake, and then cast your nets out for a big catch of fish. Now earlier Jesus said, thrust out a little. That made sense to Peter. But now he's saying, go away out into the deep waters for some fishing. Now, in verse 5, Simon said unto him, Master. Now, there's probably a little bit of frustration in Peter's voice at this time. He says, Master, I'm a professional fisherman. We've toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. So, after having been told, let's go out into the deep part of the lake, in the middle of the day, Peter said, Lord, we've worked out there all night long and we didn't catch anything. The fish just aren't swimming around today. Now, my guess is that Peter must have initially thought that what the Lord said was foolish. I can just imagine Peter saying something along the lines of, Rabbi, Master, You're a carpenter. I'm the fisherman. I know how to fish. I know when to fish. I know where to fish. And there aren't any fish out there in the middle of the day, especially way out there in the deep. The fish in the Sea of Galilee, they feed at nighttime. That's why Peter was out fishing the night before. They fish at night off the insects that fly over the surface of the water. So Peter, being a skilled fisherman, knew that if you're going to catch fish on the Sea of Galilee, or here it's called the Lake of Gennesaret, if you're going to catch fish there, you do it at night when the bugs are out, and that brings the fish to the surface, and you don't go out deep, you go in shallow waters because their nets only went down so far. During the night, or rather during the day, the fish swim down deeper in the lake, and it's about 150 feet deep. They swim down deep to avoid the light. Now, every fisherman knew that around this lake. And it was a well-known fact, certainly, by Peter, Andrew, James, and John, that if you're going to fish in the Sea of Galilee, you fish at night in the shallow waters. And Jesus said just the opposite. Go out in the deep in the daytime. So Jesus told these disciples to do the opposite of what everything they had been taught to do. Just the opposite of what common sense would tell them as a fisherman, of what human reasoning would tell them, of what their past earthly experience would tell them. Jesus was telling them to do just the very opposite. And here was a carpenter telling a fisherman how to fish. And it didn't seem like very sensible advice. And so why should a seasoned fisherman like Peter take instructions from Jesus, who worked in a carpentry shop? In order to obey, Peter had to swallow his pride, to take fishing advice from a carpenter. And it's especially difficult, I don't know if it is with you, but it is with me, it's especially difficult to take advice like this after you've failed. You know, when things are not going well, and you've tried something and you fail, it seems like people pop up all over the place. I told you not to do it that way. You should have listened to me. If you did it my way, it wouldn't have failed. Well, Peter failed. He didn't catch anything that night. Neither did any of the men with him. And so it might have seemed to Peter like this was sort of a Monday morning quarterback giving him some advice. You know, when you're frustrated and discouraged after a failure, and that's what Peter did, he fished all night and got zero. It's difficult to deal with somebody that's trying to tell you how to do things or you should have done it this way. But Jesus wasn't coming to Peter as a know-it-all. Even though he did know it all, he was omniscient. He was coming to him as his Lord and Master. And Jesus had a greater purpose in wanting Peter to launch out into the deep in the daytime. Because the Lord Jesus was about to do what he did best. He was going to take an everyday common experience to teach his disciples a very important spiritual truth. And fortunately, Peter responded in the right way here. Notice at the end of verse 5. Peter says, "Master, we've toiled all night and we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, because you said so, I will let down the net." Now, this is a beautiful expression of Peter's faith in Jesus. No, there were other times later on in Peter's life where Jesus told him to do something and he said, "Not so, Lord." It's not advised to say that to the Lord. But here, even though it seems so contrary to everything Peter had ever experienced as a fisherman, he said, "At your word, I will cast down, I will let down my net." Even though we worked all the night before and he was tired, he obeyed the Lord. Peter realized that If you wait on the Lord, He will renew your strength. When God gives a command, He also gives the strength to obey. And so here, this seasoned fisherman was, because the Lord said so, he submitted to his master and he let down this net. And it wasn't, Peter didn't seem to be letting down the net because he really expected a big catch of fish. The way he worded this to the Lord was he didn't really expect anything much to happen. He said, Master, we fished all night there, but if you insist, I'll let down the net. So his faith was not seen in a great expectation of catching many fish. Rather, his faith was seen in his obedience to the word of the Lord. Because Jesus said so, Peter submitted and obeyed and let down his net. And Peter was going to learn this day that obedience to his master's command was far more important than any hopes of earthly success. Peter really didn't expect to be successful, but he wanted to be obedient. And that's faith. Believing that true success is found in obeying the Lord regardless of the earthly outcome. And would to God that more men in the ministry today had that attitude. Now, Peter calls Jesus Master here. This is a different term. It's not the word for Lord, although it's sometimes translated Master here. It's a different word, and it means one who is in charge. Luke doesn't use the word rabbi for the Lord because he's addressing primarily Gentiles. So he refers to the Lord Jesus as the one who is in charge. And so here we have the professional fisherman fully surrendered and submitted to the authority of a carpenter as he gave him instructions on how to catch fish. And there's good application in this for us. Because we too have been called to preach the gospel, to be fishers of men. And very often, it may be true in your life, often we might fish all night long and catch nothing. We've shared the gospel with so many people and nobody's responded, nobody has gotten saved. Well, here we learn that real success is not just catching fish. Real success is measured in obedience to the Lord's command to let down the net, to share the gospel, to tell others how they can know Christ as their Savior. And we also learn in this passage that a lack of apparent success in catching fish, Peter fished all night and he caught nothing, a lack of apparent success in catching fish does not mean that it's time to quit. It means that it's time to continue obeying the command to let down the net and to share the gospel. And leave the catch to the Lord. Because after all, salvation is of the Lord. It's not our job to save souls, but it is our job to let down the gospel net, so to speak, and to share the gospel message. Now in verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. When the apostles obeyed the Lord, something spectacular happened. Something supernatural happened. This was a miracle of fish. At a later point in the Lord's ministry, when the men were out on a boat, in the middle of a storm, they saw Jesus walking on the water. And Peter said, Lord, can I come out and walk with you? And Jesus said to him, come. The Lord gave him instructions to do something that was humanly impossible. The Lord told Peter to come out and walk on the water. And you know what Peter did? He obeyed God's command, And he was able to do something that was humanly impossible. And as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord by faith, the Lord kept him up. From man's perspective, that command seemed unreasonable and contrary to everything experience tells us. But in that situation, when Peter obeyed the command of the Lord enabled him to do the impossible. And we see the same thing here. Peter obeys the Lord's command, which seems so contrary to everything human experience had ever taught him in the sea. But in faith, he let down the net, and the net was so full of fish, it broke. Now, he fished all night, that same sea, and he caught nothing. At the best time for fishing, in the best place for fishing, he caught nothing. Now, in the worst time for fishing, in the worst place for fishing on the sea, he caught so many fish, the net broke. Might have seemed foolish for Peter when he first heard the Lord's command to let down the net, but it didn't seem foolish anymore. And just think of how discouraged Peter was when the Lord first came up to him. Here he is on the seashore washing his nets. They must have had seaweed or something on it because they didn't come in contact with any fish. And it must have seemed pretty foolish when Peter was so discouraged. He fished all night and he caught nothing. If only he knew that right around the corner, he was going to have his biggest catch ever. If he just hung in there a little longer, if he just obeyed the Lord's command to go out one more time, it seemed impossible, it seemed fruitless and pointless and hopeless, but at the Lord's command, he obeyed. Imagine if he had thrown in the towel at this time. He never would have seen this spectacular miracle. Now, it is a spectacular miracle, no matter how you slice it, but especially for a fisherman to see that. The Lord was teaching these men that they needed to obey his command to cast out the net, to share the gospel, and to persevere, and not to quit when it seems hopeless, when nobody's getting saved. And then we read in verse 7, "And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. There were so many fish." When Peter and Andrew was bringing in all these fish from their nets, the nets were breaking, their boat was filling up, so they called James and John to come over. Evidently, they were fishing nearby. They came along with them because the Lord said to. And they rushed to help them. And there were so many fish that two fish vessels began to sink. You know why those vessels began to sink? Because the Lord caused countless fish, wherever they were in the Sea of Galilee, the Lord providentially and sovereignly caused those fish to swim right towards Peter's net and to swim right in. And Peter and Andrew kept hauling them in, and their boats started to sink, and their nets started to break. And then so many fish went into the boats of James and John that their boats started to sink. I wonder if on the day, no, Phil, Harold, that's not going to happen to you. I wonder if Peter thought of this incident on the day of Pentecost. An impossible situation. His nation had just crucified the Messiah. And now Peter, remember the one who cowered before the young maiden? Now he stands up before thousands of his own countrymen with a biting message, "You crucified the Lord of glory." That took boldness and courage. And the same day were added about 3,000 souls to the church. You see, way back here, the Lord is preparing these disciples for a large catch of fish. And let's look at the reaction of the disciples beginning in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, at first glance, that might seem like an odd reaction. At such a wonderful time, a joyous time, when these fishermen had so much fish, their boats were sinking, they wanted to get them onto shore, they were thrilled at what the Lord had done. But notice Peter's response. He says, "Lord, depart from me." Peter became aware in a new and a fresh way that he was standing in the presence of God. And it says that he fell down at Jesus' knees in the boat, probably up to his waist in fish. And he fell down to his knees. Peter knew that in the Old Testament, no man can see God and live. Peter stood in fear. He knew that the Lord Jesus had done something spectacular. And he stood in awe of who this person really is. And Peter is beginning to sink in deeper and deeper. He's realizing more fully that Jesus really is the Messiah, that here is the Son of God, God the Son. And the first thing that happens, anytime we see this in the Scriptures, when God appears to a man, the first thing they realize is how sinful they are. And John fell down as a dead man. Isaiah said, "I'm undone, woe is me." Job said, I repent in ashes." And here Peter falls down. "Lord, depart from me." And you might think, well, doesn't he want to be in the presence of God? Well, here's another truth that we can learn from this passage. The closer we get to God, the more cognizant we are of how sinful our nature is. And that's exactly what Peter was experiencing this day. You know, drawing closer to God should never, the closer we get to God, if we're really getting closer to God, it's never going to puff us up. It's never going to make us proud of how holy we are. Getting closer to God humbles us, and it makes us so much more aware of how infinitely far short of His glory that we fall, and how sinful we are in the presence of a holy God. That's what drawing near to God does. And so Peter asked the Lord to depart from him because he was ashamed at how sinful he was and how far short of God's holiness he fell. He felt so unworthy to be in the presence of the God-man. Peter was humbled by success. Great lesson. Success humbles the Spirit-filled believer. Peter was humbled because the Lord taught him beyond a shadow of a doubt this day. That the success that he had in that great catch of fish had nothing to do with Peter's skill as a fisherman. It was only due to the Lord. It had nothing to do with Peter's years of fishing and his skills that he had gained, because the night before the Lord was teaching him how inadequate human understanding and human reasoning and human skills are all by themselves, apart from the Lord. Peter, a skilled fisherman with his brother James and Andrew, James and John, they were fishing all night and they caught nothing. Now, my guess is that that was probably never had happened to them before. you at least catch something in these dragnets all night long, at least some little cop somewhere swimming around. You catch something. And you know why he didn't catch anything that night? I think that was a miracle too. Because the same Lord that caused those fish to swim toward his net when God's time was right also told every one of the fish in the Sea of Galilee, don't go near Peter's net tonight. And he caught nothing. So Peter, when he realized what had happened, in his own effort, he caught nothing. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. And yet, when he simply obeyed, when he trusted and obeyed the Lord, there were so many fish, his boat began to sink. Peter was humbled by success. Warren Wiersbe had a great saying, I've got to share this with you, about being humbled by success. He said, those who are humbled by success are often built up by failure. And those who are puffed up by success are destroyed by failure. Peter was learning to serve the Lord in humility, not leaning on his own understanding or his own skills, but simply trusting and obeying. And that kind of humility was a very spiritually healthy attitude to have, and it would take him along as he followed the Lord for the rest of the Lord's earthly ministry. You know, if you think you're holy, you can guarantee this, you're not close to God. Getting close to God does not make us feel like we're holy. It makes us feel like we're unworthy. It makes us feel like we shouldn't be in God's presence. It's humbling. And then Peter says in verse 9, for he was astonished in all that were with him at the draught of fish which they had taken. Peter and the other fishermen with him were all astonished. They knew that this was a miracle. They knew this wasn't beginner's luck for the carpenter trying his hand at fishing. No, this was supernatural. And James and John were astounded as well, verse 10. And so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. All that took place so Jesus could say that sentence. So Jesus could tell Peter, Andrew, James, and John, with an object lesson that they couldn't possibly miss, frustrated in their own effort all night long, and they didn't caught nothing. And then when they trusted the Master, they were successful beyond their wildest imagination. And then Jesus said, I'm going to teach you how to catch men. You know, the real blessing that Peter and Andrew, James and John got that day was not the physical catch of fish. Now, naturally, they'd be excited over that. It was a great thing. It was a great physical blessing. But much more important was the wonder of it all. Was the revelation in a deeper way of who Jesus really is, his deity, his power, his sovereignty, his providential rule over the entire natural realm, and his glory. All of that was beginning to sink into these men. They could trust him. And if they trusted and obeyed, they would have a fruitful ministry. And that was the real blessing that day, not the fish alone. The fish were merely the means that God used, that Lord Jesus used, to reveal himself to them and to teach them some important truths about evangelism that which they would be putting into practice in the decades to come. So consider the disappointment that these fishermen experienced the night before. All night long and they caught nothing. These men made their living fishing. You know, they had followed the Lord on his teaching tour, and then when one was over, they seemed to come back to Capernaum to touch base for a while before they headed out again. And on that time, they needed fish. They needed to make some money, so they went fishing and they caught nothing. But they saw the power of God. And they saw they experienced the joy of the Lord in their hearts as they realized who Jesus was in a deeper way. And so think of what the Lord did. He took this dry time, this failure, this period of being so unsuccessful when nothing seemed to go right at all that night, all night long, and they caught nothing.
Have you ever had a dry time in your life?
Things don't just seem to be, nothing good seems to be happening. It's one bad thing after another. We always keep coming up short and we're waiting for the blessing and nothing happens.
There is such a temptation to quit.
And it may be in our lives, as it was for Peter, that dry time that night where they were so unsuccessful, they seemed like such a waste of time, a failure. Nothing good was happening. And during that time, the Lord was really preparing them for an extra special blessing that very next day. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean a miracle for us, but it does mean that in those dry times when nothing seems to be going right and we feel like throwing in the towel and quitting, God wants perseverance. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's a simple lesson, but a profound one. And sometimes a drought, like that night with no fish, causes us to appreciate the blessing even more. You know, in California, after about a decade of drought, when they get some nice, refreshing rains, they appreciate it more than the folks in Seattle, I can guarantee you. And when the warm spring weather comes here, if the warm spring weather comes here, we'll appreciate it more than other parts of the country as well. So notice Jesus' interpretation of the events. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Now Peter knew why nothing happened the night before. Now Peter knew why the miracle that next day. Peter learned that, Peter and his partners, that as they listened to the Lord's command and they obeyed the simple things God told them to do, even though their experience told them that it was hopeless and helpless and fruitless, they were able to do what seemed impossible. They were able to catch fish when everything seemed to be working against them. This isn't the right place to fish. This isn't the right time to fish. Everything was working against them. But they obeyed, and they were successful. And in the spiritual realm, the Lord wanted these men to know that if they would simply trust and obey what Jesus said, launch out into the deep, he says. Later he'd say, go unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Here he said, let down your net. Later he would say, preach the gospel to every creature. And you'll catch many men for Christ. Even though the world and everything in it seems to be working against us. And after that, in verse 11, it says, and when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. They already did this twice before. They left their nets. They followed the Lord Jesus. It was time for another preaching ministry throughout Galilee. And evidently, the Lord was drilling this into their heads and hearts more fully, deeper. Yes, he had called them to the ministry, but just like when the Lord called Jim Delaney to the ministry some 35 years ago, I had no idea
really what I was getting into. What would happen down the road? Here, these men initially responded to the Lord in the right way. They followed the Lord. And now they were going to realize the depth, a little deeper, of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. A little more of what's involved, of the power of God, a little more of the kind of ministry that they would have, and a little more strengthening for their faith that yes, if they trusted God, they could be successful in winning many souls to Christ, and all they had to do was let down the net. You know something? That's not a very hard thing for fishermen to do, to let down the net. They've done it a gazillion times before. It's when they do it at His word. And you know, it's not a hard thing for us to share the gospel with our neighbors and our co-workers and our family members and people we meet on the street. And if we trust and obey, and if we're diligent, and if we persevere, in God's good time, there'll be a catch of fish. Here the Lord was teaching these men that fishing for men was not just an occasional effort. When they first followed the Lord, they followed Him on a tour, and then they came back to their fishing. There was going to be a time when they were going to leave the fishing altogether and follow the Lord Jesus in very difficult and dangerous situations. And so the Lord is strengthening their faith, driving home the same truth that they had to follow the Lord Jesus, and it would involve sacrifice, leaving the nets behind, leaving the families behind, leaving everything behind, and maybe even having to pick up a cross, an instrument of suffering and maybe death. This was not a call to salvation. This was a call to service. And the call to service involves the depth that no servant of God ever understands fully when he takes that first step of faith to follow the Lord. And that's what Jesus was doing with these men, driving this truth in deeper and deeper as time went on. And they were going to need strong faith. They were going to have this miracle to look back on in years to come. And then perhaps down the road when Peter was sharing the gospel and maybe he was imprisoned for it, he would have this to go back to and he'd be able to remember that God was able to do the impossible in impossible situations. And so we have some great passages in here with good application to every one of us. The Lord told these men to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. So contrary to human reasoning and what their experience was. But if they obeyed the command, they'd be fruitful. And then Peter, he said to the Lord, "Lord, we toiled all night and we caught nothing." A lack of apparent success is no reason to quit. And in fact, it's good to come to the realization that on our own we can do nothing. That we cannot lean on our own understanding or our own skill. And as Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. This too had a strengthening effect on their faith, realizing our own inadequacy. But Peter didn't stop there. He said, "But at your word." Now that command would have been unreasonable if it came from a mere man. But it was because it was Jesus' word that Peter let down the net. And he obeyed. He didn't stall. He didn't debate. He didn't question. He simply obeyed. And the end result was there was so much fruit, they had to call someone else to help them reel it all in. And Peter realized that he was in the presence of God and that he was a sinner. He was dust. And he also realized that even though he saw his own sinfulness before an infinitely holy God in the person of Jesus Christ,
Peter was learning that God uses sinners like those fishermen. And the greatest work in the world in reaching others with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so Peter was learning that on his own he was totally inadequate and sinful, but he was humbled by this success, and it made him the perfect man for the job to bring the gospel unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He was learning that God uses sinful men like himself, and he sends them out with a powerful message. And if we'll simply trust and obey, we can leave the fruit in God's hand. One plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. If I can mix the metaphors here. And so this is what God has called us to as well. Let down the gospel net. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for Peter and the lessons that you taught him. God, help us to trust you. Help us, Lord, to have a desire to share the good news with those around us. And Lord, help us to trust you for the outcome, not to grow weary and discouraged in the work, but Lord, even in a period of drought when nothing seems to be happening, Lord, help us to continually cast out the net that others might hear. And we'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name.